You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You can be seated. Whew. It's good. Yeah, stay a while, Abigail Smith. I think I'm going to start here. Shukriya taradasiya taradasiya karatasoto. Yeah, why don't you just lift your hands? Yeah, karatasiya karatasoto. Yeah, taradasiya karatasoto. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all of this world, but give me Jesus. You can sing that with me. Give me Jesus. Jesus, it's all for you, God. It's all for your glory. All is for your glory. All is for your name. All is for your glory. All is for your name. Every scent, every song, every moment, every second, every life, it's all for your glory. Yes, Jesus. Yeah. You can have all of this world, but give me Jesus. When I come to die, oh, when I come to die, when I come to die, give me Jesus. And give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all This is part two of a worship series, Why on Earth Do We Worship? And I felt the Holy Spirit say tonight that He wants to teach you about depth in worship. A little different to what He wants to teach the morning crowd, and that's okay. The night crowd, I felt like He said they know how to do it when they're here. They know how to do it when they're here, when the lights are dim, when they've got the band, they could go all night. They love it. So good job. He likes it. He likes you. He does. But I felt like He wanted to talk to you tonight about worship that has depth, worship that has substance, which maybe you could learn a thing or two from the morning crowd on that one. And I wanted to talk to you guys about Mary and Martha. I want to read out a couple of stories, and I just want to read and teach and flow. But Abs is going to stay with me. Thanks, Abs, because I may just start singing at any point, and we'll just go with that if that happens. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Yes, Jesus. I am a self-proclaimed Martha by nature. Before the service, I was trying to pray in the prayer room. It's not a prayer room. It's my prayer room. Before I preached, and I lay down, and about 1 minute or 2 minutes in, I was like, there is no music out in the auditorium. How are the people going to mingle if there's no music out in the auditorium? I'm slamming you, Ellis, publicly. I'm so sorry. It's for a purpose. You know I love you. And I went to get up, and the Lord said, sit down. And I was like, but I'll just quickly go tell them to put the music on. And He said, you're literally about to preach on Mary and Martha. Sit down. And I was like, this is me. And I did that maybe 3 or 4 times. And I had an argument with the Lord. And I said, I need to have a chat with Abby about what we're going to do. And He was like, sit down. So about 20 minutes. It's the longest time we've ever not had pre-service music. I was like, are you kidding? And I was praying. I was like, God, can You just get them to turn it on so that I don't have to go out there? And I was like, wow, this is a real problem. This is a problem that I have. And right as I I surrendered, I laid down, I prayed my prayer. There was that, but I just had to put that aside. And when I finally felt the Lord say, okay, you may go talk to Abby. Don't go sort the music. Go talk to Abby about the song. As soon as I sat up at that point, the music came on. And I was like, you're joking. You're a crack up, Lord. By nature, I am more a Martha than a Mary. You might not believe me, but I can guarantee you. I'm an eldest child. You know where it says Martha opened up her home, not like the collective home of Martha, Lazarus, so it's Martha's home. Anybody, any other eldest children? Me, yeah. So, but I wanted to hone in tonight. Why does Jesus love Mary's worship? This is the same Jesus who teaches us. He says, when I was hungry, You gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, You gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. So this is the same Jesus who talks about service, who talks about giving up our lives, who talks about laying down our lives. Then why did he prefer Mary's worship here? Martha had opened up her home to him. She was making preparations for the king. She was busy running church. She was hosting the Lord. She was the equivalent of host huddles or worship team or whatever else at tech cafe, sound, media. She was doing this stuff for him. And he said, hey. And he like points out the one person sitting doing absolutely nothing. Is anybody else feeling this? Because I feel it. I'm like, Lord, the person doing nothing at the front. You like that one? They're lazy butts. Sorry, live stream. The same Jesus who says, whatever you do for the least of these, is saying, Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. There's a reason why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength first. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's an order for a reason. There's an order for a reason. There's a reason why. I'm going to stand for a little bit. And we'll see where I go. Who knows? There's a reason why he says, love me first. Look at me first. I don't know about you. Maybe you're not a Martha by nature. Maybe it's not. Maybe you don't get as bugged by people not doing stuff as I do. Maybe you don't notice the pre-service music not being on for 20 minutes like I do. But what are you maybe distracted by? Have you ever been so busy doing stuff here at church that you've actually missed a moment where Jesus was in the room and he was wanting to do something with you? Because you're too busy. Or maybe you're really good at engaging here in the excitement, but you go home and that's where your distractions are. Entertainment, work, study, social lives, like friends after friends after friends after friends, when Jesus is saying, hey, I want your attention. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. You know, in 2020, we have more distractions than ever available, just like in our front pocket. We have the internet in our pocket. Like that's never, like before the last 10 years, that wasn't a thing. There's been different cultures where hedonism has been prevalent. Actually, the culture right around the time where Jesus was on the earth in the Roman culture, it was actually quite similar to our culture with seeking pleasure and hedonism. But they didn't have the internet in their front pocket. Like we have access to another level of distraction. You can keep yourself distracted constantly if you want to. But Jesus is saying, you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. I'm convinced that if we don't truly understand that we're worshipers first, Pastor Rob says this all the time, but if we don't get this, even our service for God will be tainted by wrong motives, striving in our own human efforts, worry, stress, frustration, or worse, grumbling and bitterness. And Jesus has a lot, the Bible has a lot to say about grumbling. He lists it up there with like some really serious sins that we would rank as really serious, and he just like throws it in. It's like murder and grumbling. Whoa. I'm convinced that if we don't truly understand that we are worshipers first, even our service toward for him, when we open up our home and we host the presence of God and we're hosting other people, it's going to be tainted by all these wrong motives and striving and stress and worry and frustration. And he's going to be looking at us and saying, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, indeed only one. I want your attention. If you're taking notes, feel free to write that first point down. He wants our attention. He wants my attention. He wants your attention. Jesus, you want our attention. You love legacy and you love when we invite our friends, God, and you love when we host and you love when we serve with a beautiful attitude. But Jesus, you want our attention. You want us to look in your eyes sometimes, just to sit and stay a while. You want us to sit at your feet. Jesus, let us be a people that know where worship is first, before anything else. We want you, Jesus. Give us Jesus. You can have all this world. Give us Jesus. In the morning when I rise and when I come to die, Jesus, we want you. That's the eternal thing. In John chapter 12, have a bookmark, I think. Maybe I don't. Yeah, but I wanted to read it in my real Bible. Okay. We'll just do it together from the screen. This is Mary again. So this is another story about Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and I want to just look again at why Jesus loves Mary's worship. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. That's like the equivalent of like $54,000, like what we just took up there. She poured that on his feet. She poured that on his feet. Just to take that in, that money that we just celebrated raising. Imagine if Pastor Rob just said, hey guys, I bought a really expensive perfume and I put it on the stage for Jesus. Spread it out. And Jesus liked it. Guys, watch. He doesn't get mad. I know you all get mad. Jesus says, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. In the Gospel of Matthew, it continues to say, when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is a beautiful picture of extravagant worship. And it's actually got nothing to do with singing. It's got everything to do with money. This is more of a financial worship moment. but it was extravagant. He'd raised her brother from the dead. And she loved him. And she, it was probably like some sort of family. There's like different scholars think that maybe it was like one of their like family heirlooms. That's not quite the right word, but something that like, it's like their family bank saving account in a, yeah, inheritance, great word. And she's just poured this on his feet. And what was it about Mary's worship here that pleased Jesus? It was extravagant. It cost her something. It wasn't duty. It was delight. She gave her affection. Tonight he wants our affection. He wants your affection. He doesn't want your duty. There's a higher road than duty. There's a higher road than because I should. That he's inviting us to, where we understand where worship is first, and it's our joy to lose our lives. It's a joy to give so much more money than we ever thought we could possibly give, to give more time than we thought we could ever give. Some of you are called to move countries, to move to places that no one's even heard of. Oh, yep, I feel that. Yep, there's people here that you're called to move to countries that no one's even heard of you. And it's a joy. It's beyond duty. It's not just the religious tick a box and get it done. He wants your whole life. He wants our whole lives. He wants our whole lives. He wants our attention. He wants our affection. He wants your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday, your Saturday, your Sunday. And he doesn't want it in a Martha attitude. He wants your delight. In John 11:30, a little bit before, this is like one chapter before, where Lazarus has died and Jesus was in the other town and they called him and he didn't come. He called him and then they called him. They said, Lazarus is really sick. Jesus, we need you. And he intentionally tarried. He waited 3 days. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus is dead. Martha runs out to meet him, and again, can totally relate to Martha. She races out. She has a chat. She has the words. She says the things. I can read it to you if you want. It wasn't part of it, but it's kind of fun. She's like, Lord. I can just totally hear her tone, because it's sometimes how I speak. If you had been here, so I feel like Serafini's laughing because she totally relates. Any type ones, eights, threes, fives, you feeling me? Not the fours or the nines or the sixes, you lovely Marys. Martha, she's like, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives, believes, and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus gives her a very, like, he's loving, but makes it a teaching moment. But his interaction with Mary is a little different. When Martha comes back and she comes to Mary and she says, the teacher wants you. It says that Mary got up immediately and went out to meet him. And everyone in the room who was there mourning with her followed her because they thought she was rushing to the grave, the burial site, to grieve there. And it says this, When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also saw her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Come and see, Lord." And he wept. It says Jesus wept. His response was a little different because she fell at his feet. It had a different tone. There's a special worship that you get to give Jesus when things don't go to plan, when things aren't happening the way you want it to. And there's an invitation to be like Mary and to worship at his feet again in a really special way. I want to read you something from a beautiful book called Hinds Feet on High Places. And it's an allegory, sort of like a Pilgrim's Progress vibes, about the shepherd, and he's leading a young girl called Much Afraid, who has a limp and a scrunched up face, and she has lots of fear in her life. And he's taking her to the high places, and he's given her this promise that he would give her hinds feet on high places, that he'd heal her leg and he'd unscrunch her face and he'd take away all of her fear. But as you can see, it's a whole book and it doesn't go to plan. She thinks that she's in the valley of humiliation. She's going straight to the high places, and there's this beautiful journey that he takes her on. And I just want to read you one little bit, if that's okay. Actually, it's a bit of a long bit, but put your listening ears on. It's in the chapter called In the Valley of Loss. As she looked down into the depths of the valley, the heart of Much Afraid went numb. For the first time on the journey, she actually asked herself if her relatives had not been right after all, and if she ought not to have attempted to follow the shepherd. How could one follow a person who asked so much, who demanded such impossible things, who took away everything? If she went down there, as far as getting to the high places was concerned, she must lose everything she had gained on the journey so far. She would be no nearer receiving the promises than when she started out from the valley of humiliation. For one black, awful moment, Much Afraid really considered the possibility of following the shepherd no longer, of turning back. She need not go on. There was absolutely no compulsion about it. She had been following this strange path with her two companions as guides simply because it was the shepherd's choice for her. It was not the way which she naturally wanted to go. Now she could make her choice. Her sorrow and suffering could be ended at once, and she could plan her life in the way she liked best without the shepherd. During that awful moment or two, it seemed to Much Afraid that she was actually looking into an abyss of horror, into an existence in which there was no shepherd to follow or to trust or to love, no shepherd at all, nothing but her own horrible self. Even after it seemed that she had looked straight down into hell. At the end of that moment, Much Afraid shrieked. There is no other word for it. "Shepherd," she shrieked, "shepherd, shepherd, help me. Where are you? Don't leave me." And next instant, she was clinging to him, trembling from head to foot, sobbing over and over again, "You may do anything, shepherd. You may ask anything, only don't let me turn back. Oh, my Lord, don't let me leave you. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee." I just want to read a little more. "Considering how steep it was, the descent down into the valley seemed surprisingly easy. But perhaps that was because Much Afraid desired with her whole will to make it in a way that would satisfy and please the shepherd. The awful glimpse down into the abyss of an existence without him had so staggered and appalled her heart that she felt she could never quite be the same again. However, it had opened her eyes to the fact that right down in the depths of her own heart, she really had but one passionate desire. Not for the things which the shepherd had promised, but for himself. All she wanted was to be allowed to follow him forever. Other desires might clamor strongly and fiercely near the surface of her nature, but she knew now that deep in the core of her own being, she was so shaped that nothing could fit, fill, or satisfy her heart but he himself. Nothing else really matters, she said to herself. Only to love him and to do what he tells me. I don't know why it should be so, but it is. All the time it is suffering to love and sorrow to love, but it is lovely to love him in spite of this. And if I should cease to do so, I should cease to exist. So as been said, they reached the valley very quickly. The special worship that you can give the shepherd when you're in the valley of loss. There's a special fragrance. Thanks, Kimmy. I thought about reapplying my mascara before coming to night church. And then I thought better. And I didn't. What is the worship only you can give him right now? It can come in many forms these seasons. And maybe you're not in one and that's okay. But I want to speak to the ones who are right now. Are you in the waiting? Are you in the midst of financial difficulty? Are you facing a lawsuit? A struggling business? The death of a loved one? Health battles? Health in family members? Family troubles? Are you longing for a spouse or are you longing for a child? Can you walk through the fire and let the fragrant worship from your heart still be sweet? First Peter 1:12 says, even angels long to look into these things. And it's talking about they're marveling at salvation, but I think that angels also marvel at humans' worship. And I think they look and they marvel. They say, like, wow, they haven't even seen anything yet. They haven't even seen his glory. They haven't even seen his throne. They haven't even seen it yet. And even in the midst of the trials, they still worship him. My third point for you tonight is he wants our surrender. He wants our attention. He wants our affection, and he wants our surrender. Stephanie Gretzinger, I watched an amazing sermon by Stephanie. It's recent, it's somewhere on YouTube. You can find it if you want to. It's good. I actually sat down and listened back to it and wrote out a quote from what she said because it wrecked me. She said, the deeper in love you fall, the less you will care about having your own way and even your dreams being heard. And everything you wanted coming to pass. Everything you thought you would do for God. Everything you thought you would become. You just don't care anymore. If you ever become any of those things, all you'll want is to be found right where he is, sitting at his feet, memorizing everything about him, memorizing the tone of his voice, so you'll never confuse it with another. Memorizing the look on his face, staring into those eyes so that no one ever captures your gaze again. Jesus, I pray for eternal revelation. That in a room full of predominantly young adults who are thinking about their dreams, their desires, their future, Lord, I thank you for supernatural revelation to see with eternal eyes. Pray for a second that you give us the wisdom and insight of someone who's lived a life of 80, 90 years and realizes what really matters and what doesn't. That we'd make time for you and room for you in our schedules, the one that we're going to spend eternity worshiping. Yes, that we'd serve you. Yes, that we give you our lives, but God, that we wouldn't do that like Martha, that we wouldn't do that striving, Lord, but I pray that we would sit at your feet and actually know you, actually know the tone of your voice. I pray that we desire you more than we desire the promises that you've promised us. Jesus, I thank you for mantles and I thank you for callings, but God, they pale in comparison to you. God, I thank you for spouses and I thank you for children and I thank you for grandchildren and I thank you for provision and I thank you for wonderful jobs, but they pale in comparison to you, Jesus. You are the pearl of great price. You are faithful decade after decade. You are faithful to the ones who never marry. Stand. I feel like some of you need to respond to this. I just want to make things clear. So we never want to have a service where we don't give an opportunity to those of you who might be here, who might not know him yet, who might not know Jesus personally yet. But I want you to know that he's real, he's here, and he loves you so fiercely. He came to earth and died and rose again to cleanse you of your sins and your brokenness and bring you close to him. And so with every eye closed, if there's anyone here who your heart might be beating and you're going, that is me, I just love you to stick your hand up where I can see it. Because we just never want a service to go by without the opportunity for you to give your life, give your heart, give your life to know him. So if that's you, I just encourage you to stick your hand up. I'm not going to make you come down the front. Amazing. Thank you. Great. Good. Thank you. And I also would love to pray for anyone who does know Jesus, but you feel him stirring you. Maybe you relate to Martha, like me. Maybe you've been camping out in stress and striving for a little too long, and it's time to come and sit at his feet and give him your attention. I want you to have some practical applications as well, so I'm going to quickly go through those. If you relate to Martha, I just encourage you to set some time aside every day. Turn off your phone, put it in a different room. It has an ability, just by being in the room, to impact your brain. Put it in a different room and set aside time. Just if it seems overwhelming, just start with 10 minutes. I know that for some of you that seems, you might think, well, that's not long, but for some people that actually it's somewhere to start. Start with 10 minutes every day. Do it in the morning when you rise, like we were singing. John Bevere said, I can't understand how we can spend 2 hours on social media and not even 10 minutes in the Word of God. And if you check your phone, the average is like 2 to 4. And then it goes up and up. Like if you check it, you can check. You might be better than the rest of us, but probably not. Or maybe you feel convicted to give worship that costs something. What is worship that will cost you tonight? Is it getting up earlier to spend time with him? Is it staying up later after the family's gone to bed to spend time with him? Is it raising your hands in worship? Is it dancing wildly like David because you've always been too afraid of what people might think? Is he asking you to give worship that will literally cost you something financially? Or maybe, like me, you feel challenged to give him your surrender in your season. My application for you is to let go of whatever it is that you're clenching so tightly in your hand, that you're staring at your hand instead of at his face. Surrender it. Is it a spouse? Is it a boyfriend? Is it a girlfriend? Is it your dreams? Is it influence? Is it money? Is it success? Is it, if I could just be friends with those people, that would solve all my problems? If I could just be this skinny, that would solve all my problems? If I could just have their personality, that would solve all my problems? If I could just have that many followers? If I could just have a baby? If I could just have a healthy body that didn't let me down? What is it? Because he wants our attention, he wants our worship. And sometimes we can fixate on these things that are good things a lot of the time. Some of them aren't, but some of them are. Some of them are really good things. But he wants your attention. Yeah. I feel like some are meant to respond, so I'm just going to let you do that. I'm probably just going to sing a bit and spend some time with Jesus a bit. The rest of you can sing a bit and spend some time with Jesus a bit. But if you need to respond, come on down. There's an altar for a reason. Yeah, I just really felt that the Lord's inviting some of you to fast some things for a season. If you know it's you, you know it's you. And if you know it's not you, you know it's not you. But I just feel like He's going to ask some of you to give up social media for a while, maybe Netflix for a while. I feel like He's going to ask some of you to fast food for a while, longer than you've done before. I feel He's inviting you to allow yourself to get really hungry. He wants you to get hungry. Some of you haven't been hungry because you've been filling up on junk food, and He wants you to throw out the junk food for a little while. He wants you to go on a sugar detox, one of those, you know, but for your heart. So if it's you, it's you, and if it's not, it's not. Yeah. I'm just going to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for every heart here in this place. I thank you that you would do such a deep work in us, Lord, that we'd be a people that would want you more than what you could give us, more than any promise that you've made to us. Than anything that we long for, God, I pray that we'd want you above all else. That we'd get it early, that we'd get the eternal things early, that we'd get what Mary got. And let our serving be sweet and beautiful from that place, that we'd lay down our lives, that it would cost us, but from a beautiful place. Jesus, I pray that you would crack any hardness around our hearts. I pray that you'd break hardness. I just see Him like just holding some hearts quite firmly. He's cracking some outside of some hearts. There's some people that you've allowed your heart to get hard. You've allowed bitterness to settle around your heart. And He's just squeezing it right now. He's squeezing life back into it. Don't resist the squeeze. Allow Him to squeeze it. He's pumping life back into your heart. God, I just thank you that you breathe life into our bones, Jesus. I thank you that you make all things new. Lord, behold, you make all things new, God. I thank you that you give us a beautiful, soft hearts, soft to your spirit, soft to one another.